Yesterday we read the passage where Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. They asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And he taught the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father." "This is how you are to pray," he said. He continues the instruction on prayer with today's gospel, a parable about a man who's begging for loaves from his friend who's locked the door already. A little bit unusual image for prayer, isn't it? And then the famous lines about the absolute power of prayer. "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." So we're being invited to reflect a little bit more deeply about prayer. Yesterday was a great start because we were given that absolute gem of prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And that should be enough. I mean, we shouldn't say, "Well, that's what the Lord told us to pray, and that's what we pray." But it's not enough, not because there's anything wrong with the prayer, but because there's something wrong with us. And we distort our understanding of what prayer is and how it works. So we need more instruction, and we need to ponder the instruction that we have. You see, on a certain level, prayer is very, very simple. We present to God our needs, and he takes care of us. And it's true. But when we reflect on the experience of prayer, we realize it's a little bit more complicated than that, because we present our needs to God, and sometimes he doesn't seem to do anything. And then, what about what he says here? "Ask and you will receive." Well, I asked, and I didn't receive. I was at a meeting last night about the troubling situation in Israel, you know, the war that's sprung up there a few days ago, and how that's affecting our plans to go there. So I mentioned, and we all agreed, this is something we really have to pray for. So we prayed for the end of the war in Israel, but it didn't end. We prayed last night for it to end, and today it's still going on. We say, "Well, what happened?" "Ask and you will receive." You see, what happens is when we hear "ask and you will receive," we think it means we're in charge and God is going to do whatever we tell him to do. And that's not what prayer is, and that's not what this passage means. So Jesus has to keep reminding us of the reality of the situation. We are children of a Father who is caring for us, and we don't understand what he knows, and we don't have the same sense of time that he has. So we say, "Oh, we've been praying for peace in Ukraine for a year and a half, every day, and the whole church is praying for peace in Ukraine for a year and a half. It's almost nothing has changed." So God doesn't see it like that. God doesn't see prayers as a pile of things to force him to do what he doesn't want to do. And if we just said more prayers or piled up more stuff on the plate, that eventually, well, then he has to give in. That's not how he sees prayer. That's how we distort the reality of prayer. From God's perspective, every prayer is most effective if it's an opening to his will, if it's a uniting of our will with his will. It's very powerful, even if we don't see its immediate effect. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. Sometimes people ask, "What happens if I pray for someone to go to heaven and they're already in heaven?" You know, we have masses said for the dead. Very likely that a lot of these people that we're praying for are already in heaven and they don't need any more masses. And we say, "Well, is that going to waste the prayer?" Again, that's how we think. That's not how God thinks. God, who is outside of time, always takes into account how his little children have desired to participate in his plan to save everyone. So if I pray today for someone who went to heaven 20 years ago, God understands that, and 20 years ago he understood it. See, he's not weighing it the way we weigh it. I'll give you another little thing to ponder. When Jesus prayed that all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they all be one in us. That was Jesus' own prayer. He prayed that at the Last Supper. And it didn't happen. Well, if Jesus' prayer didn't make things happen instantly, well then, why do we think that our prayer is supposed to make things happen instantly? Now, it did happen. Jesus did unite everyone in his shedding of his blood. So, yes, it did happen. But we don't see it that way. It doesn't look like everyone is united to us. But God sees everyone united in his Son. So, you see how different it is if we take God's perspective? Let's go way back to the beginning. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we understand that to mean God's word has its absolute effect. What God says is what happens. God said, let there be water. Let there be the sun and the moon. Well, we look at it and we say, well, we know that the sun evolved over 1.5 billion years or something like that. The scientists say, you know, the stars take, you know, a billion years to gather intergalactic dust or something like that. And we say, well, therefore, when God says, let there be light, it didn't happen. Well, who are we? Who do we think we are? To God, 1,000 years are as a day, and one day is as 1,000 years. So when we pray, your will be done, his will is done. Even when we don't pray, his will is done. When we pray, your kingdom come, we become participants in the establishment of his kingdom. And God, our Father, loves to have his children opening up a space for his kingdom to come. His kingdom is going to come anyway, even if we don't pray for it. You think God can be defeated? Of course it's going to come. But maybe we ourselves, if we don't pray, we don't participate. We don't welcome what God is doing. That's why we have to persevere. Because the danger is not that God won't do what's good. The danger is that we won't open ourselves to the good that God wants to do. That's why we have to pray and keep praying. So Jesus tells this parable about a man who is making a good request. He wants food for his visitor. Nothing wrong with that. And he gets an answer that is pretty negative. Do not bother me. The answer again, do not bother me. Now Jesus is the one telling this parable, and he's saying, this is what prayer is like. You ask God for something, and the answer you get is, do not bother me. Well, that's, God never says that. God never says, do not bother me. But that's how it seems to us in our limited perspective. And we think that we asked and God didn't hear us and didn't respond. Jesus says, if he doesn't give out of friendship, he will give because of persistence. It's a instruction on persistence. It's an instruction to us, not an instruction to God. It's an instruction to us. Why do we have to keep praying for peace in Ukraine? Why do we have to keep praying for peace in Israel? It doesn't happen right away. Well, because we have to persist, because we think God is saying, do not bother me, when in fact he's saying, no, bother me. Keep bothering me. Don't give up on bothering me. Don't give up on opening yourself to my plan, opening yourself to my kingdom. Don't stop being my children, asking their Father for what is good. Don't stop. But that's the lesson here. But we don't bother the Lord with the idea that he has to do what we say. We bother him the way children bother their parents, because they don't have anyone else to turn to. They're so dependent on their parents that they keep going back to their parents, even when the parents say no. Most of you are parents, you know how it is. But children, they're very persistent when they want something. They don't have anyone else to turn to. Well, that's us. We don't have to worry about God doing good things. We have to worry about our inconsistencies, our lack of faith, our giving up. Well, this is the message in today's first reading from the prophet Malachi. The prophet, or the Lord through the prophet, distinguishes between the people who defy the Lord and the people who trust in the Lord. The wicked and the just. The wicked say, doesn't make any difference. God isn't paying attention. The just say, those who fear the Lord say, well, the Lord is going to work everything out. And so we want to be on his side. And God says, yes, that's the way it is. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my own special possession on the day I take action. We're saying, oh, he doesn't take action. He doesn't take action. When's the day he's going to take action? He's always taking action. We just don't see it fully manifest. That's where trust, faith, persistence, perseverance all come in. So let us welcome this instruction on prayer. Let us welcome the privilege of being children of God, who can speak to God as our own Father, who can entrust to him both little details of our life and huge worldwide lasting problems. We can bring all of them to God. He wants us to. We put our trust in him, confident that our Father in heaven is more intent on giving us good things than any father who has ever existed. And he really wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit, with his own life.